In this episode of Bear Podcast,
World AIDS Day,
I don't sleep with positive guys,
3D shades made with ultrasound,
and a hot tub three-way ends in arrest.
All these coming up. Stay tuned. Bear Podcast, 546.
You bears.
He steps into bumping the big hairy man.
So scientists may have finally solved the puzzle of what makes a person gay.
Well, I'm not taking you to get something. Scrub there, fix it for you.
Can I do the podcast in my underwear?
Gay, the geek and the bizarre.
It's one of those things that is funny, cute, white. Yeah,
two glasses of wine.
He's a lightweight, so it don't take much.
You're listening to BearPodcast.com.
Okay, fine. You really have to.
Welcome, everyone, to Bear Podcast. I am Nard.
And I'm Ray.
Welcome to episode 546, and it's a Tuesday, December 2nd, 2014, and it's World AIDS Day. Yesterday was World AIDS Day, and let us remember those who have passed, and those who are suffering with HIV, AIDS right now, and I do have friends, I've known people before, and some friends of mine that, are afflicted by the disease, and so far, they're... But today's medicine and everything, everybody's still good.
Mostly, yeah. Long, mm-hmm. If they know they're positive.
If they know they're positive, yeah.
Well, we'll talk about that later.
Okay, you have a topic for that. Anyway, so last week.
We celebrated Thanksgiving.
Yes, Thanksgiving, actually.
Here in the U.S., we celebrate this little thing called Thanksgiving.
Did you go shopping?
No, I did not.
Okay, good.
I ain't praying for that madness. The way I look at it, people should not have to work on Thanksgiving. Unless you work at a grocery store, and then you should be open for a few hours so people can get those last-minute things, and then shut her down.
Mm-hmm.
And if you ain't got it by then, tough titty.
Mm-hmm.
Should have planned better.
Yeah. I don't like the idea of businesses opening on Thanksgiving Day. Yeah. I already have a problem with football games being done on Thanksgiving Day. But then, you know what I mean? People... I guess there's nothing to watch.
Well, look at it this way. It's Thanksgiving. They're either college sports. They're professional sports. They're getting paid out the wazoo. It doesn't matter. They can celebrate Thanksgiving anytime they want to with some of those paychecks. So.
Oh, yeah. But how about the people there? You see stadiums are all full. How about those people? Right?
Well, yeah. You know, that's don't work at a stadium.
But anyway, that's how they celebrate. Yes. I mean, I don't like they.
But I did not go to Walmart at any point to shop. I pretty much cut them out anymore. I'm done with them.
With Walmart?
With Walmart, so.
Okay.
I wish stores would stay closed on Thursday, period. Unless you're a grocery store. Or emergency facilities.
Okay.
Everything else needs to be shut down.
Well, yeah. But then, of course, people won't listen because they would, businesses will really, rank up on the money. If they keep the stores open, especially if they have those good deals.
They don't. There's no reason for people to go shopping on Thursday.
Mm-hmm. Would you rather do Cyber Monday, though?
I didn't do that either. I have no money, so there ain't no, ain't no reason. I ain't worried about it. So that's why I'm just like, it ain't no reason to worry about it.
But anyway, let's talk about something pleasant. So let's talk about your Thanksgiving.
My Thanksgiving was very good. Had the O'Donnells over and a friend of ours, Sarah, and we had a dinner. Instead of lunch.
Mm-hmm.
So it was all good. And I had turkey dressing, giblet gravy, and Robbie's mom makes this mushroom gravy, so we have that. So it was all good.
Mm.
I made carrot cake. It was real good while it lasted.
While it lasted?
It didn't last long at all.
Yeah, okay. So what did we do? We went to Gary and Andrew's. Thank you, Gary and Andrew, for inviting us all the time for Thanksgiving. And as usual, I brought my traditional Thanksgiving
turkey egg rolls.
So I did that, and then we pretty much did that, and it was fun. I didn't want to eat too much. I had probably two medium slices of turkey. That's it. It's not like I loaded my plate with turkey or anything. Yeah. But yeah, I don't like. I don't want to eat too much.
It's kind of like cannibalism with you, ain't it?
Why?
Turkey eating turkey.
Why am I a turkey? I'm not Turkish.
You're gobbler.
I'm gobbler. Gobbler. So we did that, and then we went home. And then it was only just, it's a Thursday. Mike and I just stayed home and watched TV. A couple of friends, Stephen and Josh, came over.
Yeah.
Just to hang out. We did go out. We ate at Denny's. Of all places, they were open on Thanksgiving Day. So that was okay.
Well, that's good. You know, so we snacked all day long because we were having dinner. So we just had appetizers and little snacks all day long, mm-hmm. which almost filled me up. By the time dinner rolled around, I was like, God. Because at one point, I was like, everybody needs to just stop eating because we made all this food that you got to eat in about an hour and everybody's still snacking. I'm like, I need to cut it.
Mm-hmm. So, well, what I did that day, I wanted to be hungry when it comes to lunch because dinner was 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of weird when it comes to Thanksgiving, right? Hey, what time is dinner? 1 o'clock. What time is Thanksgiving dinner? 2 o'clock. It's really early.
Yeah.
But anyway, so
well, I guess we had supper. Dinner is lunch, more lunch.
Yeah, it's more
supper.
Lunch.
So we had more supper because we had about 7:30-ish.
Yeah. So we did that actually just to, you know, have something in my stomach. I just ate one egg. That was my breakfast.
Raw?
No, it's boiled egg.
Oh, boy.
But then, you know.
I made deviled eggs. It was a gassy weekend.
Oh, I bet. And then what happened Friday, I think it was all football. You know, Mike wants to watch football. And I am not interested at all in doing any Black Friday thing. So.
No Black Friday here. We slept late and got up and just hung around the house and were lazy. I didn't really do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Saturday, we got up and went down to Brazos Bend State Park. Went walking with the dogs, did a little hike. That was nice. And then Sunday, we just kind of chilled.
Wait, with the dogs along with Manny?
Yeah.
Manny can, I guess he's okay running
around. I mean, every time we came next to an alligator, I picked him up so he wouldn't be a Scooby snack.
You saw alligators last?
Yes. Do you not watch my Facebook post?
No, I didn't. No.
We posted all the pictures of the alligators and stuff because he was talking about boots, handbag, jacket.
Oh, that guy.
So, because there's like these two huge alligators, like just out in the sun, sunning themselves along the trail. So,
interesting.
Because Brazos Bend State Park is kind of a swampy area, and it's the estuary, and it's cool to go walk it. But there's all kind of wild. We saw a Texas rat snake, and mm-hmm. all kind of different animals, all kind of birds and stuff. So it's kind of overcast, so it's pretty cool. So. Mm-hmm. We got the dogs out. We exercised. The dogs exercised. Manny got carried a lot because I was scared the alligators were going to get him.
Yeah.
You can walk right up to him and touch him if you want to, if you're that brave and you want to die.
Oh, God.
But, I mean, it's an open park. So, but it's a nice place to go.
Manny could have just been swallowed.
There's just no... like, when snap, you gone.
Yeah.
Or a hawk could have swooped down and got him.
I know.
So we had to keep close pretty on scary. Him. But, but you have to have pets on leash, so it was all good. So poor Pokey out. Done that much walking in a while. So.
And you've done your tree already?
Well, we went and got the tree Sunday and we've started with it. So
okay, I haven't done a tree. Next week, probably we'll do the tree.
Yeah.
Well, we'll start doing the tree. Prepare it at some point.
Yeah.
I don't want to be bah humbug this year. I just thought of doing it last weekend with Mike, but we didn't get around to it. So
yeah.
We got too lazy.
Yeah. Well, we went Sunday and picked the tree out. Come back. Set it up.
Oh, you did.
Wash it all off.
You bought a tree? Yeah. It's a real
live tree. Yeah.
Live tree.
And got it all set up and got the lights on it last Sunday night. And then Robbie's parents come over and we took all the turkey and leftovers and put it in a big pot and Robbie cooked stew for the last 3 days. He's been stewing the turkey bones and meat and whatever else we had left over. We just kept dumping stuff in there. So, or he kept dumping stuff in there. He made it. So, and had soup.
Soup all day.
So they came over and had soup with us last night and helped us put ornaments on. And we got most of it done and got some of the house decorated. So, you know, work and stuff, it's just like, do it when you can. We don't have to kill ourselves. So
yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it's been a very exciting Thanksgiving. You didn't watch any movies, did you? No.
Yes, we did. A movie I watched a while back while I was cleaning house, I had it on and I kind of watched it. It's called Quartet. It's got a bunch of English actors in it. John Cleese.
Oh, John Cleese. Is it a comedy?
Yes, it's a comedy.
It's got to be. It's John Cleese.
Maggie Smith.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it's about these retired artists, like opera singers, musicians that live in this retirement home in Britain.
Okay.
And it's a story about them and getting back together after all these years. So it's pretty good. Mm-hmm. So his parents loved it. So
Okay.
So we watched that, and then this weekend there's free HBO start the whole line.
Oh, yeah,
so Robbie went through Thursday morning and started recording stuff left and right. So we got a DVR full of movies. So we've been watching stuff. We watched Sunday night while we were doing the tree and everything else. We watched back-to-back The Hobbit.
Oh, okay.
First movie and the second movie. So we can get caught. So we want to make sure we're caught up and everything's fresh on mind. So when the third one hits next week, we can go watch it.
You know, Mike and I did that last weekend. Also, we watched Hunger Games, first one, and the Catching Fire, the second one. Mm-hmm. We're kind of thinking watching the third one, Catching Fire, but we didn't get around to it. We're not going to watch it.
Yeah,
maybe next weekend, maybe. Yeah. I'll be busy next weekend. Oh, next weekend I'll be in New Orleans for the Bourbon Street Classic. It's a softball tournament, and they have about how many teams? 50 teams going there from different.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, that's,
you already have a place to stay.
Yeah, Mike lives there.
Yeah, you don't have to make a hotel.
Makes it easier. So. Okay. What am I gonna say? So one more thing. Yeah, I guess that's pretty much it. Just Thanksgiving, and then this coming weekend I'll be busy. So. In New Orleans. Do you have any plans this week, this coming weekend?
No? Sit around the house. Maybe go to Dickens on the Strand.
Oh, you're going to do that?
Maybe. Okay. We'll see. Do some yard work and stuff like that. So. You
know. Okay.
I don't have a Nick the gardener like Ellen, so, you know.
Okay, so let's do some of our topics, Ray. So here is a topic from Next Magazine.
Yeah. This... I was reading this article, which is actually a pretty decent little blog article about, and the title is "I Don't Sleep with Positive Guys," and I thought it was kind of interesting since it's World AIDS Day was Monday, mm-hmm. and this popped up on Monday. So I'm just going to read some of it because it's an interesting read, just the first part of it, interesting read. Hearing the words "I am HIV positive" made Brian freeze. The 20-year-old graphic designer had met Zach, a 25-year-old tourist at a Hell's Kitchen bar where they danced, drank, and laughed the night away like so many other young gay guys. Around 1 a.m., just before heading to Zach's hotel for more private activities together, Zach disclosed his positive HIV status. His viral load was undetectable, successfully suppressed with a drug regimen to the point that it was low to no risk for transmission. He was clear of other STDs, and he packed ample supply of condoms. Brian, not the guy's real name, declined to go back to the hotel with him, though offering up a politely worded excuse rather than saying what he really thought, "I don't sleep with HIV-positive guys." Zach, however, had heard those words, or variations of the same, more than a few times since his diagnosis a couple years ago, and he could see them clearly in Brian's green eyes. He felt judged and tainted, and while he wouldn't lie and tell someone he was negative, he understood why so many others in his shoes and do. Brian ended up getting lucky a couple hours later at another bar with Alex, an architect in training from Chicago, who said he was negative. There's the twist. Brian, in fact, was positive that night, although he wouldn't find that out until 6 months later when he got tested for the first time in almost 3 years. Something he put off because in the back of his mind, he was concerned about a bareback encounter with someone he'd met on Grindr who, the next day, deleted his profile and disappeared.
Oh, that's scary.
So... stigma is really damaging on both ends, says Matthew Rodriguez of comprehensive online HIV AIDS resource site, thebody.com. For negative people, stigma can sometimes stop them from getting tested. If they feel they did anything that put them at risk, they may not want to get tested because the result may be devastating. I think it also stops people from interacting with those living with HIV as poor people. People just look at you as a status. As a virus, it can also stop people from going to the doctor or seeking treatment because that's admitting they have the virus. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm going to read this next thing because it's about Houston. And this is what makes HIV stigma so destructive. A recent study by Houston's Live Consortium on HIV stigma within the gay, bisexual, male community concluded that because it's so realistic to expect that in a climate in which HIV has become increasingly invisible and closeted, and in which infections are on the rise due to the stigma, gay and bisexual men will be increasingly affected by HIV. So, this brings up a lot of stuff. There's that new clean campaign that's going around where you're seeing guys taking selfies in the shower being clean, where they're promoting the fact that whether you're HIV positive or not, you're still a clean human being.
Yeah.
Meaning that the stigma, because some people is with this HIV positive are seen as dirty.
Yeah.
Or having the HIVs or whatever else they say that they go by. But I've always looked at HIV like this. Regardless of who you're sleeping with, always consider them positive.
Yeah, that's right. Actually, that's what we learned from our sex therapist, Julio.
Assume he said it's better to assume that they're positive than assume they're not and take risk. Mm-hmm. Because there's only some. It's like playing Russian roulette. So,
yeah, just always you know there are a couple of ways we talked about this also before. Aside from using condoms and everything, if you even plan to be a very promiscuous, safe person, if you want to, you can do the prep. You can do.
Well, see, that's the other thing that comes up with this whole thing. A lot of people that are HIV positive that are on medications and stuff, and people are using PrEP, and because of the stigma of it, I think that they're going to be less. I think people are going to less likely tell the truth about, oh, I'm positive. And guys that are on PrEP are going to be saying that are using PrEP as like, oh, I'm on PrEP. I don't have to take anything. You know, I'm not worried about it. Mm-hmm. They don't ask, and I think you still have to have those conversations.
Yeah, that's true.
And then, of course, it's going to come down to if being rejected, which can happen for any reason, whether you got HIV, an STD, or anything else, or small dick, or big ass, or you're fat, you're skinny. It's those things that you get rejected over. Mm-hmm. And it's something that you will have to live with. Yeah. But I think that you always need to be honest about it and stand up and say, look, you know, because I think a lot of people today, even though they say they don't want to mess with HIV positive people, they're the ones that's probably not going out and getting tested to know if they're even HIV positive, like this character in this story was Brian.
They don't check themselves.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we know that if somebody is HIV positive and they're taking their medications correctly and their viral load is undetectable, that there's a 99.9% chance that they will not transmit the virus in any way, shape, or form.
Not at all. So if you... See, in these day and age, like I said, about if a person is in PrEP and then his sexual partner is undetectable, I mean, not that we're going to advocate barebacking at that point, because technically they can. One is undetectable and one is really on PrEP. That would actually, I'm reading an article right now. PrEP is the first drug ever that can prevent people from contracting HIV and has been shown to reduce the risk of infection by as much as 92%. It's from.
But there's still that 8%.
Still that 8%.
That's a lot.
Well, yeah, but then add the point that the person is undetectable. Plus, if you do use condoms, even then you're up.
Yes.
You're probably.
But you also got to look at the planet's got to align just right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So don't take the chance. Be safe.
Be safe. Be safe. If you're, you know what? I'll say this. If you are very sexually active, go be on PrEP. Right? I mean,
it's better than nothing, but it's still nothing. That whole thing that, like on Craigslist, you see all these guys saying, hey, I want somebody to come, I want to do bareback sex, come through my home with. Hole with cum.
Yeah.
Negative guy. STD negative guys only. How many fucking guys don't know if that guy walking in the door is negative?
Yeah.
Hell, he might not know because he's out being promiscuous and too chicken shit to go get tested because he's scared of what he might find.
Yeah.
I mean, I know people that are personally in my lives that for a long time I suspected that they were HIV positive. Mm-hmm. They would never go get tested up until about 5 years ago, and I'd known them ever since I've been in Houston.
And you've known them to be promiscuous?
They're promiscuous, and I always kind of assumed in the back of my mind, or I guess it was an assumption at that time, that one or both are HIV positive. Mm-hmm. And I talked to them one time about getting tested, and they said, oh, we've never been tested, this, that, and the other. And then they go get tested, and both of them come out that they're HIV positive. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, well, we've probably been positive for a while because this other person and blah, blah, blah. But I'm like, that's been how many years ago?
Yeah, that's really scary.
And you know, so you're sitting here all this time positive, and you're not taking the medications that could help and extend your life, mm-hmm. giving the viral a foothold in your body. So I'm just saying, and I don't judge them. I mean, I can understand the scare, the fear. I mean, I grew up in the 80s when people were dropping dead left and right. You got it, and a couple weeks later, you were dead.
Yeah.
One of the articles that came out this week, I read part of it today. I didn't get to finish reading it, but one of the things that's come up is the HIV virus is weakening. It's not as strong as it used to be in certain cases. So it's a little bit easier to fight off. One of the statistics they put on there today. I was thinking it was saying 1 out of every 4 black men, I can't remember if it said gay black man or black man in the U.S. is HIV positive.
Really? Is that high?
It was a very high number.
Wow.
And I wish I'd copied that down and put it in here. So don't quote me on that. I'll try to find it when we put it in the notes. I can send it to you to stick in the notes, or I'll post it on the Gay Geek Mazar page mm-hmm. if I can find that article and repost it. And that's just one section mm-hmm. of the community.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
That's not everybody else. I mean, that's just one section. It's like the statistics that when Julio went and tested at one of the colleges, and they tested one dorm, and they only tested about 20% of people in the dorm, but 90% of them tested positive for an STD.
Oh, okay. Because HIV is not the only thing you should be worried about.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, there are other things out there, I mean, that has gotten
20% has an STD.
20% of the dorm, of the build, it was like a 10-story dorm, 20% of it, of the people in it tested. Out of the 20%, 80% of them tested positive for something.
Wow, that's about 18 people. 19 people.
No.
80%?
It's a dorm.
It's a dorm. Oh,
it's
okay.
A 10-story dorm.
Oh, wow. Oh, 20% of the people there. Okay.
Only 20% of the people that lived in the dorm tested.
Oh.
Out of the 20% of the people that tested, 80% of them tested positive for an STD.
Wow.
So.
It's really scary. Anyway.
So, the whole thing is, think about that rejection, because if you're rejecting someone that's HIV, not saying that's your choice. If you don't want to sleep with someone HIV positive, I mean, I can understand that's a lot of things, but always think about, how do you know if they're telling you the truth? Because every time, my grandmother always told me a good rule. Every time a man opens his mouth, assume he's lying and you'll have a good life.
Always assume they're liars.
Yeah. So, and kind of that's a part, because I'm sure I've slept with people that's had sex with people that were positive and they lied about it.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure they do. Yeah.
So, just because they didn't want to get rejected, or they had never, or you know what? If I don't go get tested, I can't say I'm positive or not. So just be honest with yourself. Go get tested. Know your status. That way you can do the preventative medications. You can have a long lasting life. Some people had this thing about being HIV positive, but in my view of the world, most people that are HIV positive have more sex than non-HIV positive people. So,
actually, yes. I heard of people like that who are very promiscuous, even though they're already positive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they're very promiscuous with other positive people and mm-hmm. certain things, but that's all another discussion. So, anyway, so get tested, save yourself, be honest about your status, mm-hmm. And take precautions when having sex.
Yeah.
Better to be safe than sorry. So,
okay.
And remember what my grandmother said. If a man opens his mouth, he's probably lying. So, good rule of thumb I followed most of my life. So.
Okay. So, can we skip this? It's pretty long. What do you think? Do we need the Sony Pictures?
Oh, I was just going to ask you. The thing about that was the 5 Sony Pictures movie screeners leaked after they got hacked this week. Did you think it was North Korea?
No. Well, that was the rumor. I heard
that's one of the theories because
Sony produced a film about the interview with starring Seth Rogen and James Franco.
Franco, yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, what do y'all think? How many of y'all have downloaded the movies? Have any of y'all seen Annie? Is it worth going seeing? What about the interview? What do y'all think about that?
So, well, the interview is not yet out, right?
Well, it is now. They hacked it. It's been out there. Then I think there was a quote somewhere in one of the articles about how many times it's been downloaded already from torrent sites.
Really? Well,
so
even though it is, I don't. What do they gain this publicity will just help Sony.
Well, I don't think so, because today they started releasing Sony execs bonuses and pay rates for the year. And it, like, some of the top Sony executives were showing where they made $1 million a year plus top the bonuses on top of that.
No.
And that's a big no-no in Hollywood, because you don't talk about what people make in Hollywood.
Yeah.
And now all these big Sony executives got busted and all their stuff's out there for everybody to see, plus all kind of business records and everything got put out there. So it's a big deal.
I guess it is.
So, but the thing, but my question is, did a president of a country, ruler of a country, actually have this done because he was pissed off about the movie?
No.
Knowing the type of personality that he is, that he's kind of crazy anyway.
Yeah, but I don't think so. Not that I'm saying that North Korea doesn't have the capability to hack the U.S. I'm just saying that it's kind of a petty thing to do. And whatever that is, whatever this story is about, I think it's just really it's just publicity. To me, it's just the whole thing is a publicity.
I don't think it's publicity. I think Sony got caught with her pants down.
Well, yeah, and then it just so happened that things got leaked.
So there are 5 movies out there on BitTorrent sites you can download. That a couple of them hadn't been released. Some have been released. They just haven't been released on DVD yet.
Okay. Oh, Fury. Fury's out too.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was Fury. Let's see, where were they all at?
Yeah, Annie, Mr. Turner, Still Alice, and To Write Love on Her Arms. Mm-hmm.
So,
wow. Oh, yeah, they're all new.
Yeah, the second most popular product for 1.2 million downloads is 11 a.m. Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been downloaded millions of times already. So,
okay. Anyway, so there's something I really want to talk about the new Facebook page that we put up. It's actually the geek and the bizarre page. You guys have all in one day, more than 100 people liked it. Click on like. So,
but we want you to do more.
Yes, more likes. So we want to do that so that people can post. Well, it's mostly us. And then if you like it, go ahead and share it. Probably we can use it as our news engine for the Geek and the Bizarre segment for their podcast. And many thanks to Cesar from Chicago. He's the one who's been posting all these stuff. He's been forwarding stuff to me. And then, hey, why don't we make a Facebook page just for Geek and Bizarre? Okay. So we did that. There's a logo out there and everything, and we posted it, and people have been liking some of the articles, which is great. In fact, one of the articles there is from The Geek. We got it from there. So it's if you go to Facebook, it's facebook.com/gaygeekbizarre, or you can go to gaygeekbizarre.com, which forwards to the Facebook page anyway. So. Yeah, I hope you guys like it. Anyway, let's move on. Before we go to a break, let's do some an event.
It's not really an event. It's a call for submissions by our good friend Ron Sharisha.
Then why is it an event? Okay.
Because that was the best place for it to fit in, Maynard. Come on. Okay. It's kind of an event.
It's not an event, but it's from Ron Sharisha. Okay, so it's The Biggest Lover, Big Boned Men's Erotica for Chubs and Chasers. It's by R. Jackson, Ron. Ron Sharisha. Ed is the editor. From Bare Bones Book, Leather Press? Lithe Press?
Yeah.
Is it Lithe Press? I can't remember. Anyway, so, ever since Girth and Mirth, the USA urban, gay, and bisexual social clubs founded in the 1970s for large men and their admirers, chub culture has always been part of the bear community. But why do we associate bigness with masculinity, strength, comfort, softness, and abundance, and identity? Why have some of us forever admired, celebrated, and fetishized big men, while modern fashion and other social forces have long stigmatized, even demonized fatness? I don't. I like fatness. See? Fatness. We're looking for strong, memorable stories for big love and romance, especially ones that express diversity in characters and community in any genre from 3,500 to 6,500 words long. Settings may be contemporary, historical, or mythical. So please familiarize yourself with our fiction. Search for Bare Bones Books on Amazon and use their free look free, and they're free. Look inside the book function to read a few stories. Better yet, buy a book and read it. So, there should have been rates for this.
Well, you get paid for doing
this. You get paid for doing this. So. Okay. So, yeah. Proposed timeline is subject to change, and the contributor of confirmation story synopsis due by December 15th, 2014.
Yeah. So, if you want to submit, you got to hurry up and get your synopsis together and get it submitted to them by December the 15th.
And then the first story drafts due on February 1st, 2015.
2015, yes. 2015, right? They got 2014 on there. I think it was a typo on somebody's mistake.
Okay. And finally, story drafts due March 1st, 2015. And then contributor contracts issued by April 1st. And then publication released on November 1st. So it's going to be, we have a year, right?
Yeah.
A year until it
comes out. Yeah, but you got to get the synopsis in. You got to get that in so they can tell you whether or not they're going to accept your story.
Yeah, okay. So send it in. There's an email address here. So email it to bearsoup@gmail.com so you can... submit your stories.
That's right.
Next time for the Gay, the Geek, and the Bizarre. So, like I said, we have gaygeekbizarre.com already, and we also have a Facebook page where you can visit, and some of the stories that would come out here would be coming from there, or vice versa. We'd be posting the stories we get here on the Facebook page, and again, thank you to Cesar for sending us those stories, and we have a few from there. So let's go on, right, with our
okay
article.
All right, our gay article. False Prophets, Questioning the Crusade for a New Gay Equality. On the 26th Annual World's Day, much of the gay community and its global allies is stoked about the new HIV prevention therapy PrEP, or pre-exposure prophylaxis. To be specific, mostly an upper-class, white part of the community, including many already living with HIV. What serves the interests of some gay men may wreak havoc on others. To be fair, many PrEP promoters simply hope to finally end the stigma of AIDS, or at least blur the line between positive and negative. AIDS may still kill thousands each year, but some insist that HIV status no longer matters thanks to PrEP. PrEP is a new twist on old technology, ARVs, an antiretroviral therapies. The powerful drugs used since the late 90s to keep those with HIV alive have been repurposed to prevent HIV infections. A single daily pill seems to keep people virtually free from HIV infection, no matter what their sexual behavior. With 50,000 new HIV diagnoses a year in the United States, any new weapon in the battle is most welcome, and PrEP has been enthusiastically embraced from everyone from the United Nations to Governor Cuomo to the Centers of Disease Control and Prevention. The CDC estimates that at least some 500,000 Americans could benefit from PrEP, while Cuomo has made Truvada a cornerstone of its plan to end the new HIV cases in New York by 2020. 2 years after the FDA approved it, PrEP still does not come cheap, roughly $12,000 a year for daily doses of Truvada.
Whoa!
But it's covered, at least partly, by most insurance plans and state Medicare programs. And Gilead, keen to boost user numbers, offers low-cost Truvada to those who can't afford it. Truvada's a big hit, at least among the gay chattering classes.
What?
The End of Condoms declared out an Out magazine piece in September 2013. Sex Without Fear screened a New York magazine cover nearly a year later. Salon writer Mark Joseph Stern and blogger Andrew Salon are both so enthusiastic about PrEP, they feel every sexually active gay man should get a prescription. A New York Times analyst evenly liked PrEP to the pill, which offered women authority over their bodies while separating sexuality from morality. Four decades later, PrEP seems to offer the same freedoms to gay men. Mm-hmm. Reality check. When advocates are equating pregnancy, which sustains our species, with a preventable disease like HIV, the logic has gone hopelessly funny. Stigma helps explain the exuberance. Decades into the AIDS era, HIV remains a disease of shame and secrecy. But if all gay men are taking PrEP, many activists reckon HIV status will eventually stop mattering. Mm-hmm. When Truvada coursing through the whole community's veins, folks who would long longer be branded HIV positive or negative, the HIV stigma would finally hit zero and we'd all be HIV equal. Actually, one of the pro-PrEP nonprofit groups. There's an effort underway, mostly by positive men, to eliminate the distinction between being negative and being positive, says Michael Weinstein, president of the AIDS Healthcare Foundation's America's largest HIV/AIDS health care nonprofit and outspoken opponent of widespread PrEP use. But this distinction matters, he adds. Whether with or without PrEP, he continues, political correctness is preventing us from telling people to stay negative. Weinstein is a controversial figure. Many AIDS activists have branded him paranoid and pariah. But with Truvada's long-term side effects still uncertain, his warning over equalizing HIV seems like common sense. Do we really want to mass medicine medicate an entire generation of gay men? Until we know more, that has to be bad medicine and bad policy. The treatments that made HIV no longer the death sentence it once was, and the younger generation dangerously ignorant of the grim era, condom adherence continues to decline. In this light, Truvada seems like a triumph of technology over human nature. But PrEP was never intended as a community-wide cure-all, but rather to complement more virtual prevention strategies. So this article is saying, well, people need to be aware of HIV negative status, that we don't have a cure-all yet.
No, we don't.
And doing all this stuff is not making it any safer. So, and the article is much longer, but I thought that was a good part of it to cover and talk about giving the different view of being positive and HIV positive, where earlier we were talking about in the topics about not sleeping with somebody that's HIV positive versus sleeping with somebody HIV positive, where it's one of those that now they're trying to use PrEP or allegedly using PrEP as a way to clear, level the playing field.
Yeah, it's like...
Like it said, it's, you know, death to condoms. Or what is it saying? What did it say again?
It said the condom use is on the decline because more and more people on PrEP.
But it's expensive. Look at the end of condoms, as you're saying.
Yeah.
$12,000 a year. That's
$1,000 a month.
$1,000 a month. That's expensive.
Now, if your insurance company covers it...
Wow. So
there's still got to be
what I feel about that is your insurance is covering your promiscuity. I guess that's one way to look at it, right?
But that's what they were comparing it to the pill for. Well, you know, women being able to take control of their bodies and being able to take the pill was a whole different thing. It gave them promiscuous without using condoms and worried about the, you know, what happens after that. So, but this time we're putting it on the gay man spectrum.
That's right. It's an interesting article. Yeah. Okay.
So let us know what you think. I mean, where do y'all stand on the? Where do you stand on the issue? Where do your friends stand? You know, as a group discussion, do you think perhaps the end all be all, or is it one of those things we end up in 20 years from now? It has horribly gone wrong, and it makes all the gay people straight.
Yeah, Truvada making it straight after getting pounded in the ass by gay guys.
You never know.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, every time you hear a drug commercial, there's 30 million side effects to it that they tell you warn you about. So you never know what you're going to get into. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now let's get into geek. Now, this is something that, according to Caesar also, that you could think about the applications for this ray, okay? So ultrasound can let you touch and feel 3D shapes in thin air. Touch feedback has been advancing rapidly at recent time, and now we've gotten to the stage where ultrasound can be used to create entire 3D shapes to touch and feel in thin air. We've always thought that holograms were solid photons or something like that, right? That's in the...
Well, that's kind of the start to the holodeck.
Yeah, but this one is...
But I see this, the thing of this is where you're looking at the sci-fi movies now, and they're typing on this airless keyboard, and it's just like outlines in the air, that's what this is.
Okay. So we've
that's
seen...
That's where this is heading.
Yeah.
So you don't have a machine here. You got projection on a screen, and you can change that projection to match whatever you're doing on that screen.
So we've seen 2D surfaces rendered in thin air using ultrasound before, but now researchers from Bristol Interaction and Graphics Group have used it to create entire 3D volumes. The researchers explain how it works. The method uses ultrasound, which is focused onto the hand to hands above the device and that can be felt. By focusing complex patterns of ultrasound, the air disturbances can be felt as floating 3D shapes. The system generates an invisible 3D shape that can be added to 3D displays to create something that can be seen and felt. See, this is the advent of holograms. Well, holograms. There's sound.
Well, but I mean, it's also the thing that we've seen, like I said, in the sci-fi movies, there's nothing there. they wave over something and all of a sudden all the controls come up and they're pushing buttons and doing stuff in the air. And that's a representation of it. It's nothing really there. There's no push button that they're actually hitting.
Yeah.
They're interacting.
And they do say it's it can display the three because of the 3D effect it can have.
And so, Prometheus, you have the whole control panel that lays out that gives you the graphics, everything, and they're pushing the stuff in the air and hitting the buttons. And
I was just thinking, how about the – will there be any sexual
– Well, sexual, I'm sure when that holodeck comes around, there's going to be a lot of sexual stuff.
Yeah. So don't you think the first applications for this would be, 3D rendering of a penis, something like that, and then you'll hold it and then you can touch it?
I'm sure if it gets picked up with porn, it will get moved fastly to be technologically advanced faster. So,
yeah. Wouldn't you want to be the first one to actually develop that? But anyway, okay, just a few more.
But imagine if you're the bottom, you can change the to whatever you want. No, bigger, bigger,
bigger.
Volkswagen, Volkswagen.
Let me adjust the size. Good one, Ray. Okay. Before we go on, there's another geek thing that I want to show you guys this device. So last Friday, when I was shopping around, I got an email from Micro Center saying that, hey, get the Winbook from Micro Center. You can reserve it right now and you can pick it up for $60. It's actually a Windows machine. It's 7 inches. It's like any other tablet. Good size for a tablet. It's as big as your Nexus 7 or your Kindle Fire HD. But what's good about it is it's actually a Windows 8.1 full app, full OS. It's not a Windows RT machine. It's a full Windows 8.1 machine running the Metro and everything. You can I can actually remote to my work VDI with this one. You can remote your machines even. So it's 16 gigabytes of hard drive, very small. It's got 1 gigabyte of RAM. It runs a quad core. I forgot the processor, but it's an Intel one. But it's really good. It's good for viewing, reading books if you want to. You can I tried the Internet Explorer on this. Yeah, you can run Internet Explorer now.
You can get on Facebook.
You can go to Facebook. That's right. But they're all since it is it's still a tablet, but then if you run Chrome on it, you'll see it, pretty small. See, this is the book. You can actually book. Yeah. Anyway, so it's technically a netbook or a Chromebook. You played around with netbooks before, right? What a netbook is pretty much a very low-end computer, and all you do is browse, and you go on Facebook or probably. Back then, play Farmville. And if you need to remote to your work computer, you can do that too. But then it's a very weak computer. This is pretty much it too. See how small it is. I remember, I know people already have tablets, iPads and everything. But of course, there are some limitations with the iPads. You cannot, there are things that you cannot do with an iPad that you can do with full OS X machines or computers. Oh, by the way, it's got a full USB, so you can actually connect a keyboard in the mouse if you want to. You can connect a mouse via Bluetooth, so it's a full computer. Like you can actually use it as a computer. So
can you connect it to an external monitor?
Yes, actually, yes. I actually have the cable. It has an HDMI port, a mini HDMI port. You can connect it to along with with music.
So it'd be great if you do a lot of PowerPoint presentations somewhere.
Exactly. Yeah, you can. You can actually produce your PowerPoint presentation as in these. And then, you can run full Windows Office suites. But then, just be warned that it only, by the time you install everything, you will have about 2 gigabytes, 3 gigabytes left on the hard drive. So it also has a micro SD card, so you can extend it for music. You cannot install applications to it. But what I'm saying is, it can do the basic stuff if you treat it as a notebook. Oh, sorry, not the notebook. You treat it as a netbook, meaning you don't rely on it for its hard drive space, but you can surf, you can do Chrome applications, you can do web stuff, you can do and watch videos, Netflix, Hulu Plus, or if you have Amazon Prime. I was watching Amazon Prime with it. They're running full screen here. It's pretty cool.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah, anyway, so that's my geek part here. Recommendation, go to your nearest Micro Center and they're selling it for $60. I mean, if it's I would not buy it if it's even, let's say, $99 or $100. Oh, there's a higher version, but $60 for a full computer like this, because I've been wanting to have another computer just for HTPC purposes. I can do that now with this machine, put it on the TV. Anyway, that's my geek part. Yeah. Sorry, it took so long. Okay, so what's next, Ray?
All right, for the bizarre, hookup fail. Hot tub throwaway ends in hilarious arrest.
How could that happen? They're in a hot tub.
Well, here we go. We heard of plenty of hookup stories that went south, but this one has to take the cake. Austin Adams, 18, Michael Gordon, 33, and Douglas Trench, 21, met in a nightclub in Spartanburg, South Carolina, my home state.
Oh, my.
That explains a lot.
What? That's a big range. And hit it off.
Well, just listen.
Okay.
They decided to take the party back to a private residence in Boiling Springs, South Carolina, where Gordon was dog-sitting for the homeowner. Predictable shenanigans ensued as they made their use of the lenient surroundings. The back porch led to the hot tub. You know the story. But around 1:30 in the morning, Adams and Tench got into a dispute over who was the highest-paid escort. So, my question is, was Gordon paying these guys to be there? Or what was the deal? So,
oh, my God.
As the old saying goes, three things you should never talk about on a first date are politics, religion, and how much you get paid to have sex with strangers. The argument turned physical, and Adams lost control and started hitting Trench with his hands and feet while still in the hot tub. Trench fled the scene and called a friend, who then called the cops. After confessing to the assault, Adams reportedly told the cops, just arrest him and be done with it. It's safe to say Michael Gordon will never be asked to dog sit again.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of
that'd be like me house sitting for you, inviting a bunch of chasers over and having a knockout brawl in your house. Mm-hmm.
It just hit me here about the cops. Just arrest him and be done with it. I have a story about that. About somebody I know. I wouldn't say a friend, but it's an acquaintance.
The escort.
No. It's about how the cops do treat law enforcement, do treat gay guys in LA. Actually, I can't say all cops, but this is acquaintance of mine. He is a cop in LA. And I don't know, I think he's kind of homophobic, so that's why I really dislike him. But anyway, there's this, when they go to a house, if there's a domestic violence, when you go into a house and there's domestic violence, who do you think, if you're a cop, who would you arrest?
Well, it all depends on what happened. First of all, who owns the house?
But do you ask that when you go in? Oh, there's a phone
call.
Well,
yes, because, well.
There's a phone call.
Here's my experience with domestic violence. When the police get called, they can show up, and if there's an issue at the house and they get called and there's no physical signs of beatings or anything, they can escort you out of there safely. Mm-hmm. If I come over here and we're dating and we get into a fight and you call the police, they can escort me out.
Okay.
They can't do anything to you because it's your house, unless it gets physical.
Let me finish my story though. With this acquaintance of mine, he's this cop. When he goes to a house, if there's a domestic violence, immediately, the woman is the one battered. If it's a husband and wife, the woman is, and then of course he arrests the guy, and takes him to jail. If it's a gay couple. If there's any kind of violence, both are arrested, and let the DA handle it. That's what I when I heard from it. It just really pissed me off. So that's what he was saying. You know, oh, if it's a straight couple, if I see them, I just get the guy because he's the one hurting the girl. Just yeah. Those conclusions, and then the guy goes to jail. But if it's a gay couple, I'm gonna arrest you both because you both are. both are, you know, assaulting each other, and we'll just let the DA handle it.
Let the court sort it.
So both are aggravated. You know, it just pissed me off. Without even fact finding. He doesn't want to know. Both of you are just arrested. Just go. That's just it. That's how he did it in LA. So I don't know. Something that got me furious, and I don't want to talk to him. That's it. That's for our bizarre. So again, I would just like to remind you guys about the Gay Geek Bizarre. Go like it on Facebook. So,
if you see any stuff you think we should talk about on the show, post it there.
Oh yeah, always send it to us at show@bearpodcast.com.
Yep, send us the link.
Yeah. Okay, so I guess that's it. That's it for the show. Like I said, show@bearpodcast.com. If you have any feedbacks, just email us. Okay.
Or if you'd like to leave us a voicemail, which we'll gladly play on the show, or comment on an article, or want to talk about something we've talked about on the show, then leave us a voicemail at 206-222-2327. That's 206-222-BEAR. So call us, please. We'd love to hear from you.
Yes.
Give us your opinion.
Yes. And subscribe via iTunes, Vimeo, and YouTube. And you can also listen to the show on Bear Radio Network and Stitcher Radio. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And go to the official website at bearpodcast.com. Thank you, everyone, for watching, listening, and we'll catch you guys on the next episode of Bear Podcast. Many wolves and many hugs.
Woof, what a bear.
Podcast your ass.
Woof, what a bear. Woof, what a bear.
Podcast your ass.
Woof, what a bear. Woof, what a bear.
Podcast your ass.
Woof, what a bear.
Your hair's fine. You had to surprise me, don't you? That you're wearing your Star Wars Christmas shirt.
That's right.
Okay.
I don't know what's up with my eyes. They're all running. So what's the cheapest tablet they got this size?
Oh.
That runs Windows 8.
Oh, Windows 8. There's an 8-inch of a Windbook. 8.9, a little bit bigger. About 1 inch smaller than that, about 1 inch longer, bigger than this.
Okay.
$130, something like that.
Oh, so it's still.
Did that come out fine?
Huh?
Did it come out fine?
Yes.
Okay.